Okay, if you don't know who I am, can I just say that for most of this next half an hour, I will be sitting down, because if I don't, about halfway through, I'll become a garbled mess and nobody will gain from this morning. So if you can't see me, I assure you I'm not doing tap dances or anything exciting. I'm just sitting down. There'll be stuff comes on the PowerPoint that hopefully enables you to interact a bit with where we're going. But can I just assure you this? You don't have to see me this morning to hear from God. And that's why we're all here, is it not? To hear from God. You may have to wait till somebody speaks to you in coffee. That's fine. But this morning, you'll hear from God. I assure you that. Okay, so I'll see you in half an hour. Okay, I just want to say I really appreciate the opportunity this morning to come and speak. So let's start this morning with a question that also serves as the title for this talk. Why not me? Why not me what, you may ask? Well, hopefully by the end, all will become clear. If all goes to plan, we shall end this morning with a statement to live by rather than a question. So let's see what happens. To help me get to where I want to go, I'd like to read the account of Paul and Silas being put in prison. And you can find it in Acts chapter 16, verse 16 to 25. It's on the screen as well. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned round and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. We'll come back to this chapter a bit later on. So Paul and Silas are grabbed by a bunch of guys and taken to the local court. There they are stripped, humiliated, and beaten up, and then thrown in prison and put in leg irons and chains. Their chosen evening's activity was to pray and sing praises to God. How is it that Paul and Silas could praise God even after being stripped, beaten, humiliated, imprisoned, and chained up? You and I are very fortunate. It's unlikely that any of us are going to be put in prison because of the Christian beliefs that we have. Prison was Paul's challenge, but it is unlikely to be ours. In Paul's challenging situation, his default setting was to pray and praise. Is our default setting the same? I want to spend some time this morning looking at something so huge, so impactful, that it often clouds our minds to the extent that we are not living the life of prayer and praise that maybe we should be. The something that I'm referring to is life. At the point where Paul was put in prison, his life didn't stop. That was his life. And the way he dealt with challenging circumstances inspires me. Can we say the same of ourselves when hard times hit? We have all experienced hard times in the past, and many of us here today will be going through something of a hard time at the moment. The challenge of this morning is to understand how Paul was able to live the life he did and try to live it ourselves. As a starting point, let's identify some of our life's regular challenges and see which ones maybe we can relate to. Pressures of work. Do you earn enough? Do you have job security? Are the employees of your company working well together, or are there fractious relationships? Do you enjoy your job? The fast pace of life. The world is spinning very fast these days. Too much to do and little time to do it in. Are we getting caught in the mindset, in this mindset, and not really giving our best to any of the things that we're supposed to be doing? Family pressures. Is poor communication due to concentrating so much on the other issues that we face, leading to misunderstanding, and therefore our relationships are struggling? Do you return to your family home dreading what may or may not have happened whilst you were gone? Periods of poor health. Do you feel unwell for some reason all the time? Is there a frustration in you that for some reason the medical profession are just not getting to the core of your problems? And if you feel this way, I assure you, I can relate. Do you struggle with the need for a bit more influence and power? A bit more money or success? Are there just too many things in your life to try and juggle? Are there too many balls to keep up in the air? Are you being pulled in so many different directions that you feel like you will just give way? Have you been imprisoned by life? Have I? When faced with some or all of these on a daily basis, it is no wonder that we are not living the prayer and praise-filled existence that maybe we should be. Life can, and so often does, just get in the way. During life's good days, am I so focused on how great I must be because all is good, that I have not given a second thought as to where my blessings really come from? On life's bad days, am I so focused on being angry or frustrated with the world and everything in it that I have forgotten who I actually believe in and what that should mean for my life? Here are five biblical truths about God that should make a huge difference in how I live my life, but so often I know life's problems get in the way of me remembering them and really allowing myself to believe them. Number one, God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Number two, God sees a bigger picture than we see. Maybridge Community Church has been around for maybe half a century or so. The reality is, for me, Maybridge Community Church has came into existence a long time before this, during the time of the book of Acts, when the early church was planted. We are not a separate entity to all of the other churches that have gone before us. We are directly descended from them, and we are the continuation of the early church of Acts. If that is too far back for you to really feel a connection that we share, then how about another church slightly closer to home? This is where Stopsley Baptist Church is meeting today as we speak. We are intrinsically linked to Stopsley Baptist Church up in Luton. Why? Because Stopsley Baptist Church is where Andy Hickford was during some slightly younger days. This was, of course, before the short period of time that we don't talk about, when apparently he was doing stand-up comedy. It's amazing what great pictures you can find on Google, isn't it? Anyway, as I say, it's before he came here to Maybridge Community Church to head up the ministry here. I wish you could see his face in the front row. It's priceless. The family up in Luton have had a huge impact on who we are at Maybridge because they helped shape Andy into who he is. Not just about Stopsley that has had that effect on us. What about the different churches we've all been to over the years? They are all represented here, for good or bad, because you are here. God sees a bigger picture than we see. Paul's story has a direct link to my story. And our story as a church, because his place in the history of the growth of Christianity helps shape my belief and ours. And my belief and yours help to shape the beliefs of the people around us. God sees that our lives are not just lived in the historical light of the Bible. Our lives are lived also as a continuation of the Bible. The lives we lead are going to be just as powerful to those around us in shaping new Christians as Paul's life is when studying the Bible. And more often than not, our lives will be even more important because our stories are easier to relate to for the people living their lives in and around Worthing today. God sees a bigger picture than we can comprehend. Thirdly, God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. We are designed to live in love, to love others, to be loved. And there are many opportunities for us to share in it. I've made a note of a few groups of people that we are likely to be loved by or to love. There will be someone on my list that you love or you are loved by. I boldly guarantee it. Here's my list. Parents, brothers, sisters, husband, wife, children, grandparents, grandchildren, friends, uncles, aunts, nieces, nephews, members of your church family. I know that there might be a few people in this room that have yet to find someone on my list, maybe, to love or feel loved by. And I did make a promise. So, of course, the last entrant on the list is God. Again, that may not satisfy if there are people here who don't feel that they are worthy of God's love. But who is? There will be people here who don't know that God loves them. But he does. You are God's greatest creation, the apple of his eye. There is no greater love in the existence of all time and space than the love God has for you, for me. It is a perfect love. You may be asking how it's possible for God to love me more than anything else, and also love you more than anything else. Well, it's quite simple. Because as we read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, God does not just love, God is love. I am not worthy of God's love. I have done nothing to deserve such a gift. Beyond that, I cannot even comprehend the enormity of the sacrifice that God was willing to make just so he could bridge the gap that my sin creates between us. And he connects with me anew. The death of Jesus for me, for you. There is no greater demonstration of than this to show that I am loved. Do you believe that that is true for me? Do you believe that God loves me enough to sacrifice Jesus on the cross, to wipe away my sins, and also celebrates me as his greatest creation? If you do, thanks very much, but you leave yourself nowhere to go other than to believe it of yourself too. I am no more or less special than you. I am not definitely no more deserving of God's love than you. I am just like you. I am a sinner saved by the grace of God. Number four, God's grace is more than enough. Grace is God's unmerited favor. There is nothing we can do to earn this. It is a gift from God. Grace is divine assistance given to us for our rebirth in Christ, a state of sanctification enjoyed through divine favor. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Number five. Through Christ, God redeems all things for his purposes. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 19 to 20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The power of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is such that everything that is ever experienced within the human life, from the greatest joy to the deepest despair, is redeemable for God's purposes. Five biblical truths about God. A couple of weeks ago, during one of our worship times together, I shared something that I'd heard someone else mention to me. That God pours his greatest gifts and his biggest blessings into the most broken of pots because it allows more of him to spill out. I am a broken pot. Life has made me such. Even when I can't see it, do you believe that God consistently and continually pours his greatest gifts and his biggest blessings into my life. Do you believe that for the person sitting next to you? That God consistently and continually pours his greatest gifts and his biggest blessings into their life? If you do, nudge them and smile. Good. Do you believe the same is true for your own life? Now, some of you may seem a bit unsure of your own worthiness to receive such riches. Again, I assure you that if you were more than happy to say that God pours his greatest gifts and his biggest blessings into the lives of people around you, you leave yourself nowhere else to go other than to accept these things as true for you too. The people around you would be mortified to think that you were placing them on a pedestal higher than your own. The joy of church is that we are all just sinners, saved by the grace of God, none better than another or more worthy than any other, to receive the riches we are continually blessed with if we are open to looking for them. But what impact should this have on us and the way we live our lives? Well, firstly, we need to understand that the human experience will always have good and bad times in it. Having a relationship with God doesn't change that. In the coming days, you and I both will experience periods of great joy and of great pain. And none of the heights mean we are any more special to God than anyone else. And neither do the lows mean we are any less special to God than anyone else. We've already seen that God wants to prosper you and not to harm you, as it said in Jeremiah. For some, that statement doesn't ring true if God allows us to go through periods of great pain and challenge. I'm here to tell you that the pain and the challenges that we face are still incorporated within God's big picture plan for each of us. Remember that all things are redeemable for God's purposes and not just the good things. I heard a guy called Mark Lowry describe the earthly life as nothing more than boot camp. He said that we are here to knock off our rough edges so we fit more perfectly within our ultimate destination, heaven. You and I are not home yet. Paul's secret was simple. Paul knew God. Paul was a broken pot, and he knew it. But he also knew that God pours his greatest gifts and his biggest blessings into the most broken of pots. Paul knew God had a plan and a purpose for his life. He knew that God saw a bigger picture to the one that he saw. He knew that God is love, and God loved him. Paul knew that God's grace was more than enough. And Paul knew that through Christ, God redeems all things for his purposes. All these truths enabled Paul to understand that God was on his side, And if God is on his side, then in all situations, he can live a why not me life. Remember, he was stripped, beaten, humiliated, imprisoned, and chained up. But even in that moment, he had God on his side. And whilst that didn't stop the challenges he was faced with, it did enable him to live a why not me moment. That meant God would spill out of him. And we go back to Acts chapter 16 for the proof. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all of his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Paul, in the midst of the challenge of being in prison, was able to praise God and live a why not me moment. Those around him saw this and came to faith in God themselves. So if Paul could live this way in his most challenging of moments, then why not you? Why not you dealing with your work stresses? You have God on your side, and he will spill out of you if you learn to react to these stresses in a way you know God would want you to, in his strength and not in your own. Why not you learning to fight the pace the world around you moves at, so to better suit who you are supposed to be? You have God on your side, and he will spill out of you if you live a different rhythm to the fast pace of those around you, because it will make you a more healthy and balanced person than those around you feel that they are. Why not you dealing with the mayhem and the misunderstandings that can be family life? You have God on your side, and he will spill out of you if you respond to conflict in a humble, Christ-like way. When there is no one to for others to fight, watch how the situation calms down, and there is no fight. Why not you forever having to control a need for more influence or power, for more money or more success? You have God on your side, and he will spill out of you if you would only make gaining more of him your goal. Why not you perfecting the skill of juggling the challenges of life? You have God on your side, and he will spill out of you if only you would let him. The joy of living a why not me life is that if you can get close to making it a default setting, then ultimately the perspective it brings changes the feel and the impact of the hardships you face. Hang on a minute. I think I missed one out. Periods of bad health. Why not me? Learning to praise God during times of bad health. Why not me when the difficulties of disability cloud my mind? When the daily grind and disruption of nurses' appointments get in the way of other aspects of life? When the seemingly never-ending issues make me feel like life has actually stopped. Why not me? After all, I have God on my side, and He will spill out of my brokenness, my weakness, if I let Him, because He has already poured His greatest gifts and His biggest blessings into my life, ready and waiting for just such a moment. How do you live a why not me life? It will probably be different for each one of us. But for me, I have spent the last 3 months practicing the art of stronghold busting. Now, stronghold busting is something that was introduced to me during the Freedom in Christ course that we regularly run here. And just a heads up, it's back in a few weeks' time. So think about whether you want to come and do it. The principle is simple. You find something in your life that you know runs against the grain of what it is that you actually believe. Then, over a 40-day period, you verbally speak out against it and you put a truth in its place. By the end of the 40 days, your default setting becomes one of the truth and not the lie that it used to be. So every day, I have been saying the following words to enable what I actually believe to let it impact the day-to-day of my life. I renounce the lie that life should be easy. Whether I've got God or not, the world says you shouldn't have hardships, you shouldn't have pain, you should be able to get by, life should be easy. And I announce the truth that through Christ and in God, I have everything that I need. So, why not me? It doesn't take away the challenges of my life, but it does help me to live through the challenges in the way God expects me to, filled to the brim with His greatest gifts and His biggest blessings, and allowing more of Him to spill out because of the way I live a why not me life. Why not me? Because God has a plan and a purpose for my life. Even when I can't quite figure out what it is myself. Because God sees a much bigger picture than I see. Because God is love. And God loves me. It's demonstrated by the incomprehensible sacrifice made for me. Because God's grace is more than enough. Because through Christ, God redeems all things for his purposes. And it is truly knowing all of these truths that enables me to change my question, why not me, into a statement, why not me? It is a lifestyle choice based on what I already actually believe. It is open to all, and one which will take us a step closer to living the kind of life that really knowing God can bring. There is not a need to seek challenges, hardships, and pain, but rather it is an attitude of acceptance when the normal course of life brings them to the fore. These things are going to happen, folks, whether we like it or not. The part in this that we can impact is what our default setting is when we're faced with them. I would challenge you that there is a way in which we can respond that allows more of God to pour out of our lives. Why not me? Let's pray. I'm going to ask the band if they can come up. After we pray, they'll lead us in another moment of worship for our time together this morning. This is another great opportunity to connect to the power and real presence of God here this morning. Please don't miss out on it. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for who you long to be in my life. Thank you that you are on my side. Thank you that all of your greatest gifts and your biggest blessings are already mine to claim. Thank you for the many opportunities, past and yet to come, where I can live in such a way that lets more of you spill out of my life and impact others for your glory. Keep challenging me to live a why not me life, in which I live in your strength and not my own. By your Spirit, help me to find and live the life that will make me reach my potential in you. In every season and every circumstance, may my default setting be bold and steadfast. I announce the truth that through Christ and in God, I have everything that I need. So why not me? For your glory and not mine, to God all of the applause. Amen.